Can't forget about BNA because it may or may not have been a record-setting night last night. Welcome in, Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes. Kyle Mann, our producer. It is Gym Class getting ready to come your way here on KGYM. Busy Thursday as we've got high school football tonight. Also have, of course, Major League Baseball. Don't want to forget about the NFL coming up tonight as well. How can I forget about the NFL tonight? It's Raider Week. 7 o'clock tonight, 1600 a.m. It'll be the Washington Warriors entertaining Waterloo West. We'll also have updates from Davenport on Marion Davenport Assumption coming your way tonight. That's a big game as well. That's on 1600 AM on 107.5 and 106.3 FM coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. We will take you to Wrigley Field as it'll be game 5 of the National League Championship Series between the Dodgers and the Cubs tonight, and that will get underway. We'll join up at 7 o'clock, and it's scheduled for about a 7:08 first pitch coming up tonight as it'll be Clayton Kershaw on the mound against Quintana for the Chicago Cubs. And unfortunately, we don't have an East gym or a West gym. My Chiefs are on the outside looking in tonight, Mark. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. And there's plenty. There is indeed plenty going on. And on top of that, I was talking to our friend Alex Kuhn earlier today. His brother's Memphis Tigers play tonight as well.
Holy cow.
So, I mean, Alex has Memphis, Houston, and he's, you know, professionally, he needs to watch the Cubs, Dodgers. He needs to look in on the Raiders and the Chiefs. I mean, he needs picture and picture and picture or whatever.
Oh, I've got people keeping me informed tonight of everything. So I'm in good hands. I'm in good hands tonight, and we'll have a good time coming up out at Kingston Stadium coming up tonight. And as we mentioned, we will keep you updated on the game between Marion and Davenport Assumption over at Brady Street tonight as well. Tomorrow, Mark and I will be out at Prairie as we get ready for the huge, huge Week 9 game, winner take all to get in the playoffs between Prairie and Kennedy. We will be out there with the North Gym. Big thanks to all our great sponsors, Iowa National Guard, Happy Joe's Pizza, U.S. Air Force, Dr. Pepper, Prince Albert Tuxedos, Popeye's Chicken, Unity Point Health, St. Luke's Hospital Community CPR Team, Cedar Rapids Parks and Rec Department, Marcus Theaters, LaJames International College. I want to thank all of those folks, and our final two tailgates coming up tomorrow as Gary Fickle and David Schulte will be at Iowa City High, as well as we will be at Prairie.
Seems like we just began the tour, but it's coming to an end, as you mentioned, and very much looking forward to going out to Prairie and talking to Rocky and Mark Bliss, the football coach, among all the coaches out there that are going to stop by. So, yeah, tune in for a tailgate trip to Prairie tomorrow.
Yeah, that'll be coming up at 3 o'clock on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM. Starting point today, let's hit Major League Baseball first. Of course, last night, Cubs stay alive as they get three solo shots with a 3-2 victory over the Dodgers. Wade Davis goes two. Was not probably the best Wade Davis, but he did enough to get through it. And probably not going to be available tonight with the nearly 50 pitches he threw last night. And the Cubs survive and play another day, and that's all you can ask for if you're a Cub fan at this situation.
Yeah, it's Clayton Kershaw night, and he's widely believed to be the best pitcher, starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. And I'd submit it's time for him to maybe go 5 or 6. But we were talking to Steve Kane, our sales manager, earlier, and he said, why? They got a lot of arms in the bullpen.
They do have a lot of
Don't
arms.
Don't let it get away from you, Dodgers. But as much as I've talked about the Cubs not scoring many runs, the Dodgers really haven't either.
No. It's been a pitching-dominated series so far for the most part. And Clayton Kershaw, I mean, is there something to the fact that he has put a lot of pressure on himself in postseason situations? He has not performed nearly as well in the postseason as he has in the regular season. 319-366-1600, if you'd like to comment on that. Goes to Los Angeles for game 6 and 7 if necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Cubs can sneak out another one tonight and especially beat Clayton Kershaw, what's that do to the psyche of the Los Angeles Dodgers at this point?
Well, I think he'd still have to feel pretty good going home up 3-2. And but a certain amount of momentum would be gained by the Cubs. Let's throw in our poll question today while we're on the subject. KGYMradio.com is where to find it. Will Clayton Kershaw hurl the Dodgers to their first World Series appearance since 1988 tonight? Yes or no? Thanks to Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast, and Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
I mean, all the pressure in the world is on Clayton Kershaw tonight. I think there's a lot of pressure. I think there's a ton of pressure on Clayton Kershaw coming up tonight. How about pressure on the Houston Astros?
Mm.
Off to a 2-0 lead. Last time this series visited Houston, Justin Verlander was dominant. Old school, if you will. Throwing a complete game. Yes, Mark, they used to throw complete games in Major League Baseball postseason. Justin Verlander did it. He turned back the clock. They need him to do it again coming up in Game 6 for the Astros to stay alive as the Yankees have come back with a vengeance and now lead that series 3-2.
Yeah, Verlander, he's made 8 starts for the Astros, and the Astros have won all 8. So, obviously, the Houston wants to keep that string alive, and that's what's up next facing the Yankees is, maybe surprisingly, maybe not, trying to close out the American League after being down. Listen, it doesn't surprise me a great deal.
Doesn't surprise me at all. I thought Houston's a better team, and I still think Houston's the better team.
Tanaka was tough last night.
Oh.
He was money. And Sabathia's been good. That bullpen is very good. I mean, it's a team to be reckoned with. And when Judge and Sanchez and Gardner and God, Chase Headley, are you kidding me? 3 hits? I mean, when they're clicking, that's really a formidable team. So yeah. We'll see what happens on the Hertine and Stocker Jeweler text line, 319-366-1600. 0056. I can't stand the Yankees rooting for the Astros to make a comeback. 86-50. Cubs better hope they can do better than 8 walks again. No way Dodger offense stays cold forever with so many base runners.
Dodgers hit the ball hard last night. Hit it at a lot of people. But that's baseball. That's the way it goes sometimes. Bellinger hit a rocket for the double play in the 9th inning. But hit it right at somebody. And like I said, that's the way baseball goes. Umpires now saying that they blew the call last night. They got Joe Madden ejected. Didn't mean anything except no Joe Madden, obviously.
Right.
But both the controversial plays in this series really haven't had a bearing on anything.
And there was an out the next pitch.
Yeah,
anyway,
so it was next pitch. Nice night, Mr. Granderson.
Yeah. Thanks for coming.
He had the golden sombrero last night. That would be 4 strikeouts. Then you've got, well, there's different forms of golden sombreros. You can have the 4 lookings or just 4 strikeouts.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he had the 4 looking or struck out swinging, but it was a pretty dismal effort for Curtis Granderson last night. Looked very Met-like.
He used to be money frequently. He was at the Tigers, and yeah.
But looked very,
not so much last night.
Looked very Met-like last night.
Yeah.
That's baseball. The other thing, we'll talk about this coming up in a couple of minutes here with Tom Kakert. Big Ten this morning came out with not only their preseason player of the year, that is Miles Bridges. That is not a big-time shock of the Michigan State Spartans. Big Ten doesn't roll out an official list, poll, for what they believe that the rundown will be as far as Big Ten basketball teams. They have an unofficial one. Came out yesterday. They put it together. And Iowa was picked 8th, which I thought was a little bit low. But we'll see. Miles Bridges, Big Ten preseason player of the year. Justin Jackson from Maryland. Moritz Wagner of Michigan on there. Nick Ward of Michigan State. Amir Coffey, Nate Mason, Minnesota. Scotty Lindsey of Northwestern. Bryant McIntosh of Northwestern. Vincent Edwards of Purdue. And Ethan Happ of Wisconsin. That
the
is
first
your team.
Time in a few years that no Iowa player. I mean, you had Devin Marble and Aaron White and Jared Utop, I think, were all preseason, all Big Ten. Am I right?
Believe so.
So it's been at least 3 years anyway that Iowa hasn't had anybody preseason all Big Ten. Neither here nor there, probably, but...
It depends on what you do, and I think Fran McCaffrey would probably trade a good year finishing in the top three of the Big Ten instead of having individual accolades.
Yeah, absolutely. On the text line again, how many of you guys are going to pick Northwestern to win? LOL, none. Well, we'll find out in the back half of the program when we make our picks, including the Iowa-Northwestern game.
Very true.
Yeah.
That'll be on the Carl Nerney's Pick 6, 3:15 here on the program. But the big news that came out of Chicago today was adjustments to the Big Ten. This has been talked about. A lot of speculation came to fruition today. The Big Ten announcing changes to future men's and women's basketball schedules starting next year, 2018-2019. The Big Ten will now play a 20-game conference schedule for the men. Women will up it too as well. They will now play 18 conference games. What it means for the men, here's the new format. You're going to play seven opponents twice, six opponents once, which will be split three home, three away. Big Ten has said they are going to preserve the in-state rivalries. You will always play these twice, Illinois Northwestern, Indiana Purdue, Michigan, Michigan State. They will always be played twice. While the new schedule will have a, quote, regional component to increase the frequency of games among teams in similar areas. Like, you got to think that means for Iowa's sake, they will play Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Illinois twice for the most part. Over the course of a six-year cycle, in-state rivals will play each other 12 times, regional opponents will play 10 times, and all other teams will play 9 times. So there you go. Similar to that as far as the women are concerned. Now, what's the fallout? Already heard a little bit, some rumors out there, nothing substantiated yet. You and I worried a little bit, some people, that Iowa may have to drop out of the Big Four. Ladies and gentlemen, as long as there is a huge sponsor bringing you a Saturday of basketball at Wells Fargo Arena, I think the Big Four is going to be safe.
No reason to do that.
No, none whatsoever. And if Iowa wants to drop two games and drop two of the directional schools from around, whatever the case may be, that's my thinking about it. I think this is a good move. I think it's a good move.
You're never going to get a full round robin with that many teams in the league. So
absolutely
I guess it
not.
Moves it a little bit closer to that with 20 games. The women, by the way, excuse me, going to play five opponents twice. And eight teams once, four home, four away, each season. Similar model is going to be in place for in-state rivalries and competition between regional opponents.
I think it's a good move. People want to see competitive games, and they want to see conference games more than they want to go the other way. Real quick, before we get to a break here, the coaches poll for men's basketball. Duke, number one preseason. Was going to be Michigan State. They are starting at number two, but when the reclassification for the incoming freshman, Bagby or something like that, came in, Duke went up to number one. Kansas third, Kentucky fourth, Arizona five. Boy, you've never seen that group in the top five before. Villanova six, Florida seven, Wichita State is eighth, North Carolina and West Virginia. I think it's a little high for West Virginia, but we'll see. USC 11. Miami, Florida, 12. Cincinnati, Notre Dame, Minnesota, 15th. Louisville, 16th. What do you think about that after all the problems off the court for the Cardinals? We'll see. Xavier, 17. Stevie at number 18. Gonzaga, 19. Northwestern, 20. With Purdue, St. Mary's, Seton Hall, Baylor, and Alabama.
Wait a minute. Northwestern ahead of Purdue?
Northwestern's ahead of Purdue. Iowa and Iowa State did not receive votes, but Harvard did. So there you go. That's your preseason coaches top 25. We'll take a break, come back. Tom Kakert will join us from HawkeyeReport.com. We'll talk about the changes in the Big Ten. We'll talk a little bit about Media Day that took place back on Monday and some football as well. when we return after this.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Show your support and help raise funds by joining the University of Iowa's Zeta Tau Alpha for their 18th annual 5K, October 22nd in Lower City Park. Think pink and sign up today.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Check, check, and check. Whole to-do list done. And it's game time.
I only gave you that list an hour ago.
Right.
You fixed the dishwasher, washed the dog, and got us a mortgage in less than an hour?
Yep. Dishwasher was simple, Bruno was no trouble, and I got us an online mortgage at Fairfax State Savings Bank, where we were approved in like 20 minutes.
You demand, babe. Let's watch that game. High five.
Fairfax State Savings Bank. Visit thebankhere.com for a mortgage or refinance today. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The KGYM Road Trip comes to you live with the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It's your chance to hang out while we're broadcasting and get your hands on some swag from the gym and other prizes. Want to know when it's happening? Find the road trip schedule at KGYMradio.com. The KGYM Road Trip, live from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub, Mormon Trek Boulevard in Iowa City. Driven by Linder Tire Service. Linder Tire keeps you rolling during all your road trips. Visit LinderTire.com for great tire and service specials.
This is the sound of money. So is this. And this. It may not sound like money to you, but it will. Because you'll get paid while you learn to do it all. That's how the apprenticeship program at Carpenters Union, Local 308, Local 1260, and Local 678 works. You earn while you learn. So, no student debt. Check out CarpentersUnionApprenticeship.com. This is how you build a career.
Looking back at the glory days while keeping the pulse on the here and now. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on The Gym Class. KGYM.
Welcome back, 321. We're going to have a Bowling Night in America recap. We'll get the panel together for the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6. All that coming up here on the program before 4 o'clock here today. And we've got Waterloo West at Wash tonight, 1600 AM. We'll keep you updated on Marion Davenport Assumption as well. And then also coming up for you tonight, Game 5 between the Cubs and the Dodgers comes your way from Wrigley. And that will be at 7 o'clock, 107.5, 106.3 FM. We're going to talk some Hawkeye and some Big Ten news. And to do that, we bring in Tom Caker from HawkeyeReport.com, who joins us on a sunshine-filled Thursday. Tom, how are you today?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Mark said we should have got 9 in sometime this week.
That's right.
You're running out of those days when you can get them in. That's for sure.
I know. Hey, let's start off with the news out of the Big Ten offices today. Rumored to this the last, a little bit anyway, but it is a reality now. Big Ten is going to 20 men's basketball conference games, women going to 18, both adding 2. And not a real surprise. I guess your thoughts about it.
Yeah, it wasn't a surprise. I mean, this has been rumored for a while. I think, everybody, you look at football, they went to 9, and now it's, you're going to camp up the basketball side of things, too. So, it's, two less bad teams coming to Carver Hawkeye, I guess, or one less, because they'll split it up between a home and road game.
It's about where it ends, though, isn't it, Tom?
In terms of, adding more conference games?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so. I just don't see how you could go any higher. You got to have some of those non-conference games. And, for Iowa, I think, they'll still play the Big Four thing that's scheduled for into the early 2020s. And Iowa State will always be there. So, you have the Big Ten ACC, you have the Gavitt games, the exam tournaments. So it's just a couple less of those Alabama State kind of games that you'll see at Carver Hawkeye, which is good.
Which is very good. Now, there are some people that are a little bit concerned that maybe, the Big Four might go away. But like we were talking about earlier on, as long as there's a big sponsorship behind it, I don't see that going away anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't either. It's been fairly popular, and I think Drake's got a new coach, and I had a chance to meet those guys over the summer out in Las Vegas at an AAU event, and I'm pretty impressed with those guys. I think they'll, you know, I don't know that they'll reach the heights of Drake of old, but I think they're going to, I think they'll turn that around to be a very competitive program here in the next few years.
Iowa Media Day this week, Tom, as you know, and this might seem a, somewhat of a silly question, but can a team be too deep?
I don't think there's ever been a coach that said too deep. But, you know, with basketball in particular, you know, and it'll be something that'll sort itself out in the spring, but when guys start not getting playing time, they end up, you know, looking around at the end of the year, and I'm sure that's going to happen. It washes up on the shore of any a college basketball program today when you see 700 kids leave programs, and there's, what, like 325, 328 or something like that in D1 basketball. So it's, you know, it's part of the world that we live in, and I'm sure there'll eventually be some guys that leave because they're not getting as many minutes, but you know, I think Fran, you know, he said 13 guys feels like could get out there, but there's no way 13 guys are going to play. So it'll probably sort out to 9-10 guys that get the bulk of the minutes, and you work from there.
A lot of storylines, as there is every year, Tom. I wondered what you thought or what you think the key thing that needs to happen for this team to be successful.
I think a couple of things that I've said and written, you know, was two things come to mind. Jordan Bohan's got to stay healthy. That's just, they don't really have another, I think, long-term answer at point guard other than Bohannon. And he's going to have to shoulder that load, probably play, you know, 34 minutes a game, I would guess. The other thing I think that has to happen is Isaiah Moss has to really take his game to the next level. There's no Peter Jock. It's two guard this year to give him buckets, and they don't have a lot of depth at that position either. So I think if Moss, we saw flashes last year, if he can find that consistency that I think based on those flashes that I think he, the potential that he has, I think those are really important things for this team.
I will throw my 2 cents worth in, and you mentioned Peter Jock. The one thing I think they're going to miss from Peter, that outside shot, especially down toward the end of games when they really leaned on him. Somebody's got to pick up that slack. Somebody's got to be the go-to guy, or maybe go-to guys with as deep as this team is, and have that consistent outside shot. And the other one kind of goes hand in hand with that. They got to find somebody who can beat the shot clock, because there's going to be a lot of close games, I think, in the Big Ten this season.
Yeah, I would say that's probably accurate, but I'd go back to that Wisconsin game last year up in Madison. You know, that Bohannon kid did a pretty good job at the end of that game, burying a jumper late to win that game. I think he'll be the guy that'll have the ball in his hands, and he's going to look to shoot or create, and I think he's probably going to be the guy. And the coaches and teammates of his have all raved about Moss, and, you know, Bohannon just told me flat out, he said, I just want to get him the ball and let him shoot because he's draining everything. So if he can really knock down outside shots, then I think that would bode well for Iowa's late-game situations.
I started writing down front-court players. I'm going to take Tyler Cook out of the mix because he's going to be a given. But you've got Kreener, Ewell, Wagner, Pemsel, and the incoming Garza, Nunji. Boy, how do you pick? I suppose determined on matchups more than anything else.
Yeah, and those are, you know, all pretty much fours or fives. You know, a lot of those guys, I know they kind of experimented with Ahmad at the three, but I don't think he's a consistent enough outside shooter where you could play him at the three very much. Nunji might have a shot at getting some minutes at the three with, like, you know, with Nicholas Bear or something. But, you know, the question with him is almost 7 foot tall, and you know, how's he going to do guarding people who can go by him on the dribble? That's going to be a challenge for him, but you might see some of that. But yeah, it's the minutes are just, I don't know how you sort that out, and I think that's where you're going to see a couple of those guys just, you know, kind of not get the minutes that you think. And, you know, Cordell Pemsel, talk about him for a minute. I mean, he's down almost 20 pounds, and he looks great, and he's fit. Says he hasn't felt this good since his sophomore year in high school. That was before he started having all the knee problems, and he's looked great in practice. So
he had a good year last year.
What's that?
He had a good year last year.
Yeah, he had a really good year. I mean, he averaged 9 points and 5 rebounds a game and really played great basketball, I thought, when Tyler Cook was out of the mix with his broken finger for a couple weeks. And he was dynamite. I mean, he's got a little bit of an old man game, if you would, you know, kind of more below the rim than above it. And he's crafty down there. And Cook has really elevated his game. I mean, all these guys are good. And, you know, Garza is probably going to start at center. I think that's almost a given that he's going to start there. And he's another lunch pail guy. He's going to get the glass, run the floor. And he's gotten more fit, too. And I think they've got plenty of talent up front. It's just a matter of how is Fran going to keep all those mouths fed and keep everybody happy. And that's going to be the challenge.
Yeah, and of course, Luka Garza, when he was overseas, he was the flavor of the day. And I think a lot of is expected of him, of that young man now.
Yeah, there's certainly a high expectation for him. He's a four-star recruit. And you think about this, the two freshmen were kind of the stars of the summer. And Nunji was the MVP of the Primetime League, and then Garza was the star of the foreign tour. So both those guys are going to play a lot, and they're pretty unique because Nunji's so long and athletic and can step out and shoot the three, and he's kind of you know, Jared Utoff in terms of his build, but he's you know, already physically he's bigger than Jared, but he's kind of got that feel to his game, and Garza's kind of the below the rim guy, but just eats up the glass and has a real nose for the ball and crafty around the rim.
Very few are picking this team, though, Tom, to finish in the upper half of the Big Ten. Is that a function of how difficult the league will be?
Yeah, I think so. You look at the league, obviously Michigan State's the top team. And then you've got, you know, Purdue and Minnesota who have pretty veteran teams, and Purdue lost to Big East Swanigan, but they've still got everybody back beyond that, and the big kid Haas in the middle. So they're pretty set. But I think after those three, you know, and you could probably throw Northwestern in at four just because of the talent they have coming back and the fact that they really played well last year. They've added some pieces. I think they're going to, that maybe is top four, but after that, there's like 5 through 9, you know, Michigan, schools like that, they're going to be in that mix, Maryland, and Iowa's right there. Iowa, I think, could potentially get up to four, you know, but I know most people have them picked around 8th right now, but I think they'll exceed that. I just think there's too much talent, and the chemistry on this team is really good. I mean, you have a lot of teams that kind of get clicky with about 4 or 5 guys that hang out together all the time, and then another 4 or 5 guys that hang out together all the time. But this team all just seems to hang out together, and they just seem to really get along well, and that's half the battle sometimes is that team chemistry side of things.
Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com, joining us here on Thursday edition of the program. Hey, there is a football game this week, and that'll be up in Evanston as Iowa takes on Northwestern. It's been 50-50 over the last 16 games, 8 for Iowa, 8 for Northwestern. Usually get pretty good games, though. The one exception was 2 years ago, kind of the Akron-Wadley game up at Ryan Field. But what are you expecting after the off week?
Yeah, this is a huge game for both teams because I think both teams kind of still have those aspirations to make it to Indianapolis. I think, you know, obviously Wisconsin's a heavy favorite at this point. You know, Iowa in some ways kind of controls their own destiny in that area, but they'll still need some help. Somebody else will have to beat Wisconsin, too, because Iowa has two losses. So this is a huge game, and you're right. It's been nip and tuck between the two schools. You know, in the Ferentz era, he's 500 against him. Fitz is one game above 500 against Iowa. And that, yeah, that game 2 years ago, and talking to Akram this week, it was kind of funny because when he went in there, he basically felt like this was his last chance because he had had the fumbling issues. And if he went out there and, you know, kind of just didn't perform well and put the ball on the ground, he felt like it was going to be done for him at Iowa. And instead, he goes out and rushes for, you know, over 200 yards, 4 touchdowns, and the rest, as they say, is history. And he's established himself as one of the best backs in the Big Ten. And I'm going to guess, just a hunch, that Fitz is not going to let that happen this time. But that win was just so remarkable 2 years ago because C.J. Beathard was wandering around that field looking a lot like my 51-year-old body out there on would be on a football field, just very slow. He was beat to heck. And the offensive line, James Daniels, was making his first start. Sean Welsh moved up to right tackle for the first time, and somehow they just got it together and blew out Northwestern.
What's the biggest thing that Iowa needs to do the second half of the season? And I'm speaking of not being able to rush the ball effectively, average per carry, and defensively allowing too much.
Yeah, so two things. If you look back through the history of the Ferentz era, the good teams at Iowa during the Ferentz era have done two things. They've been able to run the ball, with the exception of 2004, which is kind of an anomaly year where all those injuries happened. But generally, if they're averaging over 160, 170 yards a game on the ground, they're going to be pretty good. And right now they're at 138, averaging 3.7 yards per carry, and that's not going to cut it. And Brian Ferentz was pretty clear about that they needed to fix that part of the game. And on the defensive side, Phil Parker last week was very clear. They're giving up 4.5 yards a carry, and they can't sustain that and be successful. I mean, they've put out a lot of fires this year on defense, some of it due to bad field position and other things, you know, just not being put in the best spot. But they have got to stop the run. And if they can stop the run, that sets up everything else defensively. And you've seen that where teams have driven on them. And in particular, that Michigan State game, it just felt like every time they got the ball on offense, they were in the shadows of their own goalposts. And it's hard against good teams to drive the ball 80, 90 yards every time. It just doesn't happen. So you got to winning that part of the game, stopping the run, will help them win the field position battle as well.
Is it, you're looking at the schedule, the last 6 games for Iowa, they can win every game. I think they could lose every game. I think you mentioned that this is a big crossroads game for both the Hawkeyes and the Wildcats, but I think that's going to be the case for the next month and a half.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, we were talking about that yesterday, that just, you know, you look at those last 6 and, you know, I think coming into the season, you thought, well, they'll get Purdue. Well, Purdue's pretty good now. Jeff Brom's come in there and done a terrific job. And, you know, that might be one of the tougher games they have left. And maybe they're, you know, on paper at least, maybe the easiest game might be at Nebraska, just because the Huskers are struggling. But then again, that's Black Friday. Could be, you know, if things don't improve out there, could be Mike Riley's last game, and you'd think that those guys would rally the troops for that final game. So they'll be going into a tough thing there. And next week's Minnesota, that's a trophy game. You know that P.J. Fleck, you know, Mr. Excitement, is going to have his team fired up for winning a trophy up at Minnesota.
Iowa State plays at Texas Tech, Tom, and as you know, Tech's quarterback is Nick Shamanek, who was in the Iowa camp at one time. Refresh people's memory what happened with him.
Yeah, he just, he lasted a year and just kind of, came up from Texas, and he was a Greg Davis recruit, and just kind of saw himself in the numbers game, and it was Beathard, and there was Rudock, and had some bodies in front of him, and decided that he wanted to go back there. I think initially he walked on at Texas Tech, too.
Yeah, yep.
And just, tried to make it that way, and it worked out for him, and he's playing great football. I was watching them last weekend and against West Virginia, and he's got a lot of talented receivers. One of them, another former Hawk, Derek Willis, mm-hmm. down there too. So he's done really well, and that'll be a huge challenge for the Cyclones this weekend going down to Lubbock.
Yeah, we talked to a reporter this week, Tom, and said Cliff Kingsbury didn't know a whole lot about this guy. I think he's Shamanic was down to Iowa and Lamar or something like that, and really wasn't interested in him. But he said, okay, come on if you want, and now look what's happened.
Now you look at him, and he's having a fantastic year, and yeah, good for him. I like those success stories, and heck, maybe there'll be another former Iowa quarterback in the mix for NFL work when Shamanic gets done.
Yeah, how about C.J. Beathard? Done a great job with the 49ers. Unbelievable. All right.
It is. It's pretty cool to see him and George out there together, George Kittle.
Yep.
Catching passes from him, and those two are really good friends. So that's just fantastic. And Iowa finally gets that albatross off of them with not having a quarterback since if you look at it from the true sense of an Iowa quarterback who finished at Iowa, since Mark Belasic threw a pass in for the Chiefs back in '92.
You had to remind me. Not Vlasic playing for the Chiefs.
Tim DeWhite will remind you he threw a pass too. So.
Hey, he had a great mustache.
Yes, he did.
One of the great mustaches.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Appreciate all the information, Tom. Keep up the great work at Hawkeye Report, and always good talking with you.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Take care.
All right. Tom Kakerd, HawkeyeReport.com. Check out his work. 3:41, take a quick break, come back, get you up to date with what happened on a Wednesday at May City Bowl when we come back.
Register now for the Let Me Run Fall Fest 5K, presented by Pinnacle Realty. This chip-timed race on Sunday, November 5th, starts at 1 o'clock at Kirkwood Community College. Proceeds benefit Let Me Run Eastern Iowa Corridor. Find race info at letmerun.org.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30-day supply free when you text the word SIZE to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text SIZE to 797979. Text SIZE to 797979.
We're changing things up at Chili's. Even our song is changing.
Our old song was Baby Back, Baby Back, Baby Back. It was about ribs because that was our thing.
Everything's getting an update.
Our new menu is totally different. We made your favorite things a lot bigger.
We made our new burger half a pound. That's much bigger.
And the ribs are 30% bigger. The fajitas are way bigger too.
48% actually. But that's like impossible to sing.
I don't know. Maybe just let me try it. The fajitas have 48% more fajitas.
Oh, baby, Chili's is back.
Baby back, baby back.
You'll probably find them either on the golf course or at the bowling alley. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, The Gym Class on KGYM.
It's where we were last night and where we would like to be sometime today. 3:43, we're going to get the panel together coming up in a couple of minutes here. Reminder, speaking of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, on Mondays. They talk with John Walters to check in with him, the voice of Iowa State Athletics, and that is brought to you by Craig Adamson at True Wealth Stewardship, online at truewealthstewardship.com. That is all one word. And coming up on Monday, they're going to have a chance for you to win tickets to see the Iowa State TCU game. That's homecoming Saturday, October the 28th at 2:30 start, courtesy of our friend Craig Adamson at True Wealth Stewardship. So tune in for that. That'll be coming up on Monday's edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Last night, it was bowling night in America. It went pretty well for the old Rusty Nails.
Well, well, look what we found. We found a starting lineup, and now I can retire.
I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's the case.
The fivesome of Scott Cleese, Rod Bruner, Scott Unas, Rusty Swires, and Bob Davidson posted the highest scratch series in the mature Evergreen League this season. 37-39 was the total. 32 and chain scratch. 13 out of the 15 games you guys bowled were 200 or better. 3 600 series. 2 700 series, and you text me early in, oh, it's going to be a long night. They just threw a bunch of strikes. Well, it was a long night, but not for you guys, huh?
And they didn't bowl that bad.
Yeah.
The guys from Quality Auto did not bowl that bad last night. We were just on last night. I will say that.
Particularly on were Scott Cleese and Rod Bruner, the second and third highest series in the league last night. Scott with a 727. Rod Bruner, 723.
Edging out his brother Jeff Bruner in early morning early morning bowling.
Yeah.
Rusty let him know that.
Austin Kluth with the high series last night, 735. Ryan Bundy with a 268 game, just nudging our own Scott Cleese who had 267. So, wow, what a night.
It was a good night. There were a lot of good scores up and down the line last night.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know if it was something in the water or whatever the case may be.
And more importantly, all of a sudden, the Rusty Nails have pulled within two games of Durline Scale, which ran into a buzzsaw last night. Huh?
Oh, my goodness. You can't stop them. You can only hope to contain them. Going into tonight, last night's action, the 4-20. We love them, the Pin Pals.
Against the 21-3 Durline Scale.
What'd the Pals do? They took four. And Joel and Justin afterwards, you're welcome, league. I thought that was in line of the night.
So we are tied for second with KBO Catering. 19 wins, 9 losses. Now only 2 behind Durline Scale. And guess what? Next week is position night. So it's a showdown with Durline.
Because we have more pins than KBO.
That's correct.
That's the tiebreaker. So, yeah, how about that? Get your tickets early, ladies and gentlemen, for next week's big showdown. They took 3 out of 4 from us last week.
They did.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
2 weeks
yeah.
ago. So,
well, if you want to inquire about open bowling, maybe a birthday party out at Mays City Bowl, checking in the equipment shop.
Pro Shop.
Andy Dirk's doing a great job there. 362-0136 is the number. MayCityBowlCR.com, the website.
We spent the first 10 minutes of the night convincing Mike Hoskins that Grand Poobah was a good thing. He thought it was a bad thing.
Yeah.
No, it's a good thing. He's the Grand Poobah. That's from Happy Days, of course, the television show. Look it up. Give it a Google, kids. The Leopard Lodge that Howard Cunningham was... Their leader was the Grand Poobah. So he is our Grand Poobah.
Did you ask Mike if he was Marianne or Ginger?
No. We did not even go down.
I bet he's a Marianne.
The Marianne-Ginger controversy last night. All right, there you go. We will take a break, come back. Panel will assemble. We will have the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6 when we come back. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league,
but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
Tomorrow afternoon at 3, tune in to 106.3 FM for the KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard. The gym will be coming to you live from City High before their matchup with Davenport North. This is David Schulte, and I'll be your host alongside Gary Fickle. Count down to kickoff with us as we chat with coaches and athletes and get you ready for high school football action. The KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard. Tomorrow afternoon at 3 on the gym.
Get a financial education Monday mornings at 7:20 on the gym during Corridor Money Matters featuring Tryon Investments. Learn even more at tryoninvestments.com.
At Lowe's, we know that pros need to be ready. Ready to rethink, ready to replace, ready to refresh. And during Lowe's Ready to Refresh event, pro customers should get ready to save. Because right now through November 8th at Lowe's, pro customers can get up to 15% off Kohler kitchen and bath products. That's up to 15% off Kohler sinks and up to 15% off Kohler toilets and more. So are you ready to save 15%? Yeah, we thought so. See Lowe'sForPros.com or the Pro Desk for details. U.S. only.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa, talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
350, welcome back to the Gym Class here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up next. And we're going to have the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6 right now, and it's brought to you by Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub in Iowa City on Highway 1 West. And how it plays out is we make our predictions of six games, the panel does, and then after that, we will take six callers. If you've been a winner over the past 30 days, please do not call in. Otherwise, you're eligible at 319-366-1600. Don't call yet, please. And we'll hitch the wagon up to the prognosticators, and whoever comes out on top, that caller will get a $30 gift certificate. It is that simple. Our grand poobah is Todd Brommelkamp. He knows that the grand poobah is not a bad thing. It is a good thing.
That's right. That's a Howard Cunningham reference, right? Happy Days?
We couldn't find a leopard fez for Mike.
Where does one go to find a fez? Nowadays?
I don't know. You know, I don't know.
Other than maybe Wilder Valderrama's.
They might have one at May City Bowl. You never know.
They might. They might. We got the panel together. If we don't get Sean, we'll get his picks coming up in a little bit right here. But we got six good ones.
I can tell you one of Sean's picks.
Yeah, I can
already
tell you one of Sean's. I probably two.
Yeah. And I can also tell you that I was somehow 5-1 last week and victorious.
Way to go.
If I recall correctly, was one of the last guys to be taken.
I think the last, or fifth or sixth, yeah.
So there you go. That five spot is lucky again. We're playing for a $30 gift card to Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub on Highway 1 West in Iowa City, and it sounds like we've got Sean. So, Sean, before we get started with the picks, what's the plan this weekend when Iowa's on the road?
Can you guys hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Oh, okay, there we go. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, except for we got rained out last weekend, man.
Yeah, I got rain, and that was monsoon all day long. I couldn't pick the worst day.
maybe next year you guys can do a bowling outing.
Two years in a row we've had torn down rain, so
yeah. Oh well, we'll get her in.
I'm telling you, bowling's the way to go.
Actually that's what we said, next year we'll just bowl.
I get to lead off, and we'll start with USC at Notre Dame. The Fighting Irish are favored by 3.5. Did a little digging on this one, and the last four times that these two teams have gotten together, not only has the home team won, but the home team has covered the spread. I don't like this pick, but I'll take Notre Dame to cover the 3.5.
I like that. I like the homework you did.
I like Notre Dame in this as well. I think this is, with their schedule and the way they're playing, they are a sneaky college football playoff candidate if they can run the table.
Ooh. Is that a hot take?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
They have a really good schedule. They've played well.
Yeah. Sean, who do you like, Notre Dame or USC?
I'm going with USC. I can't stand Notre Dame.
I think USC's a little bit better this year. I will take the Trojans.
I'm just going to take Southern Cal because I think it is underachieved so far. I think Notre Dame's a better football team. It's about time for Southern Cal to show up, and I think this is the week.
Those stats that Todd threw out kind of have me second-guessing myself, but kind of like Mark, I think USC hasn't really hit their potential yet this year. We haven't seen their best team. I think Sam Darnold's going to come out and look pretty good. I'm going to take USC.
Alex, we're off to a 2-0 start between you and me. You get the second pick. Iowa State heads to West Texas this week, and Lubbock and the Texas Tech Red Raiders are a 6-point favorite.
I think Iowa State continues that momentum rolling forward. I think they're going to have every chance to win this game, and they'll keep it within six.
Sean? I'm writing Texas Tech. Sean, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Texas Tech?
Yeah, I'll take Texas Tech. What the hell?
Go figure. Scott?
This has been a weird series because rarely has it been close. Last year, Iowa State just trucked Texas Tech. I think this one's actually going to be a close one. I think Texas Tech may win, but I'll take Iowa State in those 6 points. I'll take the Cyclones.
Boy, this is tough. Iowa State's defense is better than it has been in the last year or so, and for that reason, I'm going to pick Iowa State to win outright.
I'm with Mark. I think they definitely have the offense to be right there with Texas Tech. I think the defense is a lot better than it has been in years past. Iowa State keeps it close and I think there's a good chance that they just win this game.
I'm going to go with Sean here so that he is not on a private island. I'll take Texas Tech, and no, my apologies to Craig Adamson and Cyclone Tim and all of our Iowa State listeners. There are many of you out there. It's nothing personal. I'm just trying to win again this week. Michigan State hosts Indiana. They have played since 1950 for the old brass spittoon, and Michigan State is a touchdown favorite, Sean.
I'm going to go with Michigan State. I think that I said it last week. I like Michigan State a lot.
Indiana have to play the Patriots then after this? Talk about a brutal schedule. I'm with Sean. I like Sparty in this one. I'm going to take Michigan State.
I think Indiana spent itself last week in that overtime loss to Michigan, so I'll take Sparty as well.
Indiana's not great. Michigan State's hot. I'm going to Spartans.
This is too easy.
I was thinking the exact same thing, and until you reminded me that they forced Michigan into overtime last week, I was thinking about taking Indiana here, but this does seem like a good spot for Michigan State to win rather handily.
Is this at Michigan State?
It is at Michigan State.
In East Lansing.
I was going to go on the Bloomington Island, but nope, give me Sparty.
Well, that's a wash then, since we all picked the same game. How about Penn State as a 10-point favorite at home against Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines? Scott Unash?
Tradition has dictated that on the whiteout game for Penn State, you take the Nittany Lions. I think they win, but Michigan's going to ugly this thing up, and it's going to be a low-scoring affair. And I'll take those 10 points in Harbaugh. And Jimmy Crack O'Corn, and I don't care.
Was Michigan looking ahead last week in that Indiana game? I don't think it matters. Penn State.
Penn State's at home and looking for their first real statement game. I'm taking Penn State.
I'm going to take Penn State here as well. It's a big number, but
don't put me in an island with Harbaugh.
Michigan, yeah, this is the start of the unraveling for the Wolverines.
I don't have enough beige pants, khakis.
I'm with you, Scott. I'm going with Jimmy's team, Jimmy Franklin. Give me James Franklin's Penn State Nittany Lions.
Look at you with the khakis
on. Oh, I had to erase. Penn State, huh?
Well, there's a dress code here, Mark. For those of us who are in the building before 2:45 in the afternoon. Sean, Michigan or Penn State?
Jim Harbaugh is kind of like Joe Madden. They're overrated as hell. And so, yeah, I'm going to go with Penn State State.
Enjoy game five tonight. That's all I'm going to say.
Cyclone Tim on the text line.
To make any decisions whatsoever.
Cyclone Tim on the text line. Crossing Todd off my Christmas list.
Oh, Cyclone Tim. Illinois is at Minnesota this weekend, and the Gophers are favored by 2 touchdowns. Mark?
God, Illinois is bad. Minnesota isn't a whole lot better. 2 touchdowns, Todd?
2 touchdowns.
Minnesota.
Illinois is awful, but I don't think Minnesota's as much better as we would want to think they are. I'm actually going to take Illinois here.
Oh! P.J. Fleck needs to run it up. He needs an impressive win to get the local media off his back, and he's going to put as many points on the board against Lovie Smith as he can this weekend. Give me the Gophers.
I think this is going to be an elite 3-point win for the Minnesota Golden Gophers. I'll take Illinois.
What if I told you there were two teams, terrible, that would meet someday?
They played last week in Champaign, Rutgers and Illinois.
Illinois and Kansas.
Sean, Illinois or Minnesota?
Well, neither team's very good, but there's another overrated coach. So, well, they're both overrated. I'll take Illinois.
I've got nothing. I'm going to take Minnesota.
That's your guy, Scott.
I know, but he's let me down.
And we close out tonight's, we're running long here. How would they handle that on the Tonight Show? They'd have the orchestra start playing the music, right? Iowa
cut Don Rickles.
Northwestern. And this game is, for our purposes here, a pick'em, a coin toss. And the tiebreaker this week will be the total points scored for both Iowa and Northwestern, Kyle.
I'm not convinced this is going to be a comfortable win for the Hawkeyes, but as a pick 'em, I'll take Iowa, and my number is going to be 45.
I'm going to take Northwestern just because I can. It should be noted that the live spread right now has Iowa as about a 1.5 to 2 point favorite in this game, but we're picking it earlier in the week. It was a pick 'em. I'll take Northwestern. Don't like the line movement here, and 42.
Alex.
I'm going to go Iowa and 23.
Yeah, that's low scoring, man. Sean, what do you like, Iowa?
I'm going to go Iowa and 46. I like the Hawks.
I wrote down, we'll say it again on Saturday for the pregame, 1-pointer. I think it's going to come right down to the conclusion, maybe. But Thorson's thrown a lot of picks this year. And I think he's going to throw a key one coming up on Saturday. I like Iowa 24-23, so I'm going to have to go 47. Sorry, Sean, to edge you out. But you may not need that.
No, it's going to hit right on 46.
Mark?
It's a field goal game, and I'm going to give it to Northwestern. And I had written down 24-21. So that's 45.
That's Cyclone that's Tim in the background after Todd. Well,
Kyle took 45.
Well, then give me
48 is the highest.
Strategically speaking, give me 24.
Now, if you were a strateger, you go 1.
There we go. That's nice. We need 6 callers now. If you have 1 during the pick 6 in the last 30 days, please, you are not eligible to win again. However, you can call 319-366-1600 right now. 6 pickers, select one of the prognosticators, and if we did the best job this week, you're going to get that $30 gift card to Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub in Iowa City.
What time's everything open on Saturday, Sean?
Everything will be open at 11 o'clock, so we're opening just for game time. So
it's going to be
$4.32 domestic draws and $8.99 burger baskets during the game.
It's going to be a long day with the Hawks and then game 6 out in Los Angeles.
Good luck. Actually, hey, I'm hoping for it. Man, you could hear crickets last night, and I kind of went all over town to see if anybody was out watching that game. There wasn't even anybody at Old Chicago. What's up with the Cubs fans?
They were all inside watching the game. What are you talking about?
Sure they were.
You want to do the next 3 hours? We can do the next 3 hours if you want. I gotta get back to work. I don't know about you.
That'd be so much fun someday, Todd.
Oh, my gosh.
Love you, man.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow at Coach's Corner, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
You guys usually ask what's coming up on the program. We're actually on the program right now. I think looking at the clock, we've
got... Give us a whatcha!
Whatcha's actually coming up at 4:30. Will Raggetts from the SB Nation Northwestern website is going to be with us. We'll talk Cyclone Sports with Alex Halstead. Tristan Cockcroft answers fantasy football questions today. And we'll hear from Fran McCaffrey, his segment at Big Ten Media Day in New York City. And maybe, just maybe, talk a little Cubs-Dodgers.
We wanted it, would you? But that's okay. That's all right.
All right. Would you like to stick around and do the next 3 hours?
I got to go to a football game.
Okay, see?
All right. Todd Brombekamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next here on KGYM. We'll talk tomorrow at the tailgate tour out at Prairie, ahead of Prairie Kennedy. Waterloo West at Wash tonight on 1600 AM. It'll be Cubs-Dodgers on 107.5, 106.3 FM. Have a great night. Talk to you tomorrow.
In this tight labor market, finding new employees can be tough. Whether you're the business owner or